Listen, I want to go back to the 26th and 27th verse there. And he's saying what Isaiah the prophet said, go unto this people and say, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand. And that's what was happening that day. They were hearing something. As Paul had spent from morning till evening, not making something up, but the Scripture says, out of Moses and out of the prophets, out of the Scriptures. And so Paul didn't come in and say, hey, I've got a story and I want you to believe it. He came with the Word of God that they professed to believe, and he ministered all day long. You think some of these services get long? Well, from morning to evening, he went through the Scripture showing Jesus was the Christ, showing that Christ would suffer, showing that Christ would make an end of sin, showing that Christ would be resurrected. If you didn't have the New Testament, you could preach all those things still from the Scripture. And that's what Paul did. And so he preached from morning to evening, and there was a disagreement. So Paul had seen this before. And he said, Isaiah said, well, saying, go to this people, hear and you shall hear and shall not understand. You're going to hear something right from the Scripture and not understand it. He says, you're going to see and not perceive. You're going to see it, but you're not going to see it. For the heart of this people is waxed cross. Their ears are dull of hearing. And their eyes have they closed. I want you to pay attention to that phrase right there. Their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. And he said, they close their eyes, I want you to see this, lest I should heal them. Can you see that in that passage of Scripture? They closed their eyes so I couldn't do anything for them. Now, we spent last week, and I'm not going to re-preach, go back through what we ministered last week, except for our text where Jesus said, this is the condemnation. Light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And when he used that example of light, and I'm going to say that it really brings a simplicity to the words of Jesus and a powerful truth, is light is what allows you to see things as they are. And in darkness, everything's obscured and you can't see. And he's not just talking about the sun shining or not, or the lights being turned on, or a candle lit, or even being religious or not, because the darkness they loved was their religion. It was their religion that would not allow them to see things as they are. I talked about the person that cleans the room by turning the light off or close the door. A mess and you don't want to deal with it, turn the light off or close the door. And it's out of sight, what they say, out of mind. And that's how people are oftentimes in life. If I don't hear it, if I don't see it, if no one tells it to me, then it's not there or I don't have to deal with it. And that's what Jesus said, that's the condemnation. You know, the condemnation of lost man is not that he's a sinner. That's not the condemnation. The condemnation of a lost man is not that they may be unclean. The condemnation is not the course that their life is taken. The condemnation is that God sent His Son and to save sinners, to deliver, to wash, to make new. And when they heard, they didn't want the light. They wanted the darkness. That is the condemnation. And so they closed their eyes. They have closed. I'm going to ask you something this morning. We're going to go to John, 1 John, the 3rd chapter. I'm going to ask you this morning, would you open your eyes? You say, well, my eyes are open. Would you be one, and I'm speaking to every person in this place, I'm speaking to those that their eyes are open. I'm speaking to those that have sat on the pews and said, I'm just not going to hear it. I'm not going to listen. I'm going to ask you this morning, will you open your eyes? Because I tell you, before God can open your eyes, you have to open your eyes. I've seen people all my life, they sit on a bench and they're waiting for lightning to strike them, you know. God's going to make me. God's going to do this. I want to tell you, until you open your eyes and you begin to look to the Lord, and until His Word begins to matter to you, there's nothing God can do for you. Because He says, they closed their eyes lest they should see, hear, and understand that I would heal them. He said, they closed their eyes lest I could heal them. And the reason He couldn't heal them was they would not open their eyes. I told you the incident last week. I'd preached some things. I'd made a statement that we make often. Just said there's no scripture in the Bible that says Jesus paid your penalty. How many know that? How many says, well, I know it because you said it? I invite you to open your Bible. No scripture. Not a single one that says Jesus took your penalty. And yet that is the foundation of the modern church. Anyway, and if someone disagrees with me, that's fine, but they can't show me a scripture. I've had people disagree with me fervently, but not with the scripture. But someone told me, a minister, told me this. He said, I take exception to one thing that you said. And I said, well, scripture doesn't say it. Well, yeah, but the Scripture doesn't say it. Scripture tells us He came to take away sin, that He put away sin, that He purged our sin, that He washed our sin, that He delivered us, but it never says He took a penalty. And you say, why do you keep saying that? Because they're totally different. And I'll say this again. If you believe He took your penalty, you think that you're going to continue in your sin and there's not going to be a penalty because Christ took it. And if you don't see that He came not to take a penalty, but when He was dying, He was destroying your sin to take it away from you. And the man told me, finally he said, well, he was the one bringing the conversation. He said, well, he said, I guess I'll just say that I believe that all my life and I think I'll die believing it. You know, he didn't offend me. Not one bit. I do believe he offended God. You say, well, what makes you say that? Because he stood there knowing there was no scripture and knowing what the scripture said. And says, it matters more to me just the way I believe it. And so he didn't offend me. I went away happy. Not happy that he didn't, but my feelings weren't hurt. But I do believe he offended God. So, will you open your eyes this morning? Will you be one that said, Lord, I'll open my eyes. I'll look at what your word says. John, 1 John 3, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. And He's speaking, He said, what kind of love is this that we should be called the sons of God? He said, it's not just in God's eyes. It's not just a doctrine. It's not just a way of looking at things. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And if you've truly had a new birth, if there's truly been a new birth and Christ has come in to you, it's not just a way you look at yourself or God looks at you. Now are you a child of God, born of God Himself. And that's the point that John is making, that born again is not going to church. Born again is not making a confession. Born again is not a change in your lifestyle. Born again is more real than that birth when you were born of your mother, because this birth is an eternal birth. You were born of God, and the Spirit of His Son abides within you. And that's why the Scripture says anyone that's in Christ is a new creation, a new creature. It's a new birth. It's a new man or woman. It's a new person. Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. How many love little babies? How many are surprised sometimes when those babies grow up? Huh? Didn't quite look like what you thought they'd look like? Or maybe didn't quite become what you thought they'd become, or, you know, and sometimes you're surprised both ways. Huh? When your baby was a baby, especially if it was your first baby, they were a genius. Now come on. When you had that first child, and it was a few months, a year old, it was the smartest child you ever saw. Mine was. He's still pretty smart, but he proved to me he wasn't the smartest one I ever saw. And yours did too. I won't hear that. Mine still is. But we think that. But he's just saying, we're born of God, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Amen. When the Lord called me, I didn't know that I was going to be a minister. I didn't know that I was going to be pastor of a church. I certainly didn't think I'd be leading songs anywhere. And I didn't know how that God would be using me. It wasn't evident what it would be. But what was evident, I was His child. And He had redeemed me and washed me and gave birth, as He has done with so many of you. And we just had to seek God and wait to see what God had prepared. And so, though you're not a preacher, doesn't mean you're not His child, if you're His child. Not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall. How many notice a word that's used an awful lot in this? Shall. For we shall see Him as He is. It doesn't appear what we shall be, but we do know this. We know when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. But when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Yeah, but how are you going to be like Him if you're called to be a preacher, if you're called to be an intercessor? We're all different. How are you going to be like Him? I always tell people, and in this call of the gospel, none of us are called to be like each other. Did you know that? Aren't you glad you weren't called to be like me? And I wasn't called to be like you. But we're all called to partake of the glory of Jesus Christ, to be like Jesus. And He says this, we'll know one thing, when He appears, we shall be like Him. Now I want to tell you what He's not saying. He's not saying that when He appears, you're going to be transformed. And all your sins that plagued you on this earth are going to be taken away, and that day you're going to be like Him. No, he's saying, hey, as you walk with God, you don't know, Brother Pillet, still, where it's going to take you, what all that God's going to do. But I want to tell you, at His appearing, when He finds you, you shall be like Him. And another person, and that God leads in a different course and does a different thing. And if it's God that's working in them, when He appears, they shall be like Him. And there won't be a transformation in that day, except for their body. But what they are shall be like Him. So it's kind of a thing. And so John is saying, you trust Him. If you're born of His Spirit, and He's going to give one other issue that we're going to talk about, if He comes today, listen to me. Do you have that confidence? If He comes today, He's going to find you like Him. You say, well, that's absurd. I hadn't raised the dead. I hadn't cast out devils. He's the Son of God. What does John say? Now are we the sons of God. Yes! But His nature was from His Father. I want to tell you, child of God, that your nature, if you're a child of God, is from your Father. Your heart is His heart. Your spirit is from Him. And when He appears, you shall be like Him. Now, there's four shalls in this verse of Scripture. Two of them are in the Greek. It doesn't appear what we shall be. When He shall appear, we shall be like Him. There will be. That's the way it's going to be when He appears. We're going to be like Him. But this last shall, and this is what I want to talk about. There's not even a hint of it in the Greek language. And it's fine if you want to say we shall see Him as He is, because when He appears, we're going to see Him as He is. But I want to talk about the reason John can give a promise to those and to you that you can have the confidence that when you stand before Him, you'll be like Him. It's not because in that day you see Him as He is. It's because today you see Him as He is. And that's what we want to talk about. Seeing Christ as He is. There's a verse of Scripture. We're going to stay in this passage of Scripture for a second, but in 2 Corinthians 3 that describes to us how the gospel works. You know, we preach crucified with Christ. We preach His blood was shed to sanctify. And I've gone places and I've preached that. And I preach that, and I preach there's nothing you can do. It's the work of Jesus at Calvary. He shed His blood. His blood washes from all sin. And it's no human effort. It's not through willpower. It's not through positive thinking. It's what Jesus did at Calvary. And then turned the service over to the pastor, and the pastor said, folks, that was strong. Now we've got to go out and apply the blood of Jesus. Miss it completely. Because they think, well, the way it happens is we go, and if He crucified our old man, then we learn how to start putting off the old man. And you've heard that. If He sanctified us with His blood, then we get in the process of putting off the old and the sinful, and we say the blood's sanctified. But it's us! It's because there's no understanding of how the gospel works, how the gospel becomes effectual to a person. Because the natural mind, Paul said, I preach Christ, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross should be made of none effect. And the only wisdom that our mind can understand is, tell me how to do it. There's no way for you to do it. It's impossible for you to do it. Yet if it's not done, you'll be lost. I'll say that again. The work of this redemption is so great that it's impossible for you to do it. But if it's not done, you will be lost. You say, well, that's full of hope. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, the open face goes back in this chapter, talk about they put a veil over Moses' face. So the children of Israel could not see Moses' face because when Moses was receiving the commandments in stone, when Moses went into the presence of God, his face began to shine, and they could not bear to look upon him. But Paul tells us, and I want you to hear this, that the veil was still there. Now, Moses died. So Moses is dead. I promise you there's no veil over Moses' face. Moses is with the Lord. The disciples saw him at the Mount Transfiguration. There's no veil over Moses' face. But he said, when Moses is read, the veil's still there. See, the veil for Israel was not that piece of cloth they put over Moses' face. The veil for Israel was that law. And he says, when Moses is read, when his words are read, there's a veil, and they can't see the glory. And that's what he's saying. That the law, that their religion was a veil. Now, I'm going to say something to you this morning. I asked you when we started to open your eyes. Give me 45 minutes. Give me 30 more minutes this morning. Open your eyes and say, I'll look. Because I know sometimes we preach things and it goes against, well, I've just always believed it this way and I know it's right. Do you understand that the Scripture says that every man's ways seem right in his own eyes? So let's for a moment set aside what we just have a gut feeling that something is right, okay? Can we set that aside? I've got a, you know, I asked a group of people, or maybe I asked y'all, how many are inherently from birth spiritual? I know people who think they are. Inherently from birth, know the truth. You know what that is? They just think they're right. You say, well, you think you're right. I think what God says is right. It is what I think this morning, but it wasn't always what I thought. It wasn't always what I believed. I had to come to a place that I put aside what I thought was right. I'm not talking about I did evil to come to God, but I thought this is the way things are. You ever had to do that? I've had to do that. That veil that was upon Israel's face was the law of Moses. As long as they looked for Christ through the law of Moses, they could never see him. He could walk among them. He could raise their dead, cast out the devil. multiply the loaves and fishes, but as long as they looked at Christ through the law of Moses, they could never see Him because it was the veil that was upon their eyes. Do you know, listen to me, that your gut feeling, your religion, what you've believed all your days, whether it's yours or mine, if it's just that, can be the veil that will ensure that you never see Christ? Why? Well, because you're looking at Him through the cloth of tradition, of philosophy. How many have ever said, listen, I just like to look at it this way? You ever said that? You know what that is? That's philosophy. That's all that philosophy is. Well, I like because I reason, and you say it's logic, it's reason. It's the way you like to look at things. That's philosophy. So as long as we look at through our gut feeling, our just the way we always have, well, this is the way I was taught. This was the church that I was. We're just like Israel, and there's a veil, and we can't see Christ. Amen. So will you be one of those that open your eyes this morning? Put away what I've always been taught, I've always heard, or just a gut feeling that I just know it's this way and nobody's going to change me. And just believe what the Word of God says. Because if the veil is taken away, He said it'll be taken away if you turn to the Lord. If you quit looking at the Lord through all these other things and just look at the Lord, believe His Word. We all with open face. You know what that means? We don't have anything between us and what we're looking at. Father-in-law, we were in a discussion yesterday. Good discussion. He asked me, he said, you know, I don't believe that God's going to ask, you know, what denomination are you? And when we stand in heaven, I said, brother, I don't ask that today. Amen? I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I do believe, God's going to ask if you believed His Word. You see, well, I don't believe that He's going to ask what, I believe He's going to ask, did you believe Me when light came to you? Did you love darkness? I do believe God's going to ask that. We all with open face, without looking at it through the veil of religion, of denomination, of doctrine, of our tradition, or our gut feeling, just look, see what the Word of God says. Beholding is in a glass. He's talking about a mirror. The glory of the Lord are changed into the same image. You know how the gospel works? You let the veil down and you begin to look into the gospel of Christ, and there it's like a mirror, Sister Kathy, and you see the glory of God and it transforms you. Without your works, without your willpower, without your efforts, without all those things, you let the veil down. Open your eyes and look into the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Scripture says, and are changed from glory to glory. You know what He's talking about? Someone says, well, it's just a everyday bump, 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 change. No, He's talking about from the glory of that old dead tradition, which was nothing. He calls it no glory, into the glory of Jesus Christ. That's how the gospel works. So back in our text in 1 John 3, we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. And I'm going to not put it with that shall that wasn't in the Greek language, because we see Him. That's how we know that we'll be like Him, because we see Him. You say you see Jesus at night? No, we'll go back to 1 Corinthians 3 or 2 Corinthians 4. He said, glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ to shine unto us, the knowledge of the glory of God. We see Him in the gospel. We see Him. The gospel's proclaimed and we hear it in His work of redemption. We see Him as He is. That's important. You're saying, Keith, you know everything? Of course not. Ask my wife. Well, you're saying you know everything about Christ? Christ is unsearchable. You know, I'm still discovering things about my wife. I discovered something recently. She tells me I can preach pretty much about anything except her. This is what I would say if I was talking about her, but since I'm not going to talk about her. But I discover things more. How many have found that to be true, even in a relationship? But if someone came to me and told me that Karen cursed someone out, I'd say, you got the wrong person. If someone told me, well, that lady is just the meanest thing, anybody knows Karen, she will turn inside out and bend over backwards to be nice and sweet when gruff would do just fine. Because I'm gruff. How many say amen to that? You know that. No, not the gruff part. Well, let's see what John says when he sees Him as He is. We see Him as He is. Every man that has this hope, if that hope is in him, he purifies himself. The ones that, I'm going to tell you, that have purified themselves, if the one that see Him as He is, have that hope, they shall be like Him. Whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law. That is a strange scripture, and I'm not going to go into it today except to say that that is actually a mistranslation. You look it up. It's iniquity. It's lawlessness. You know what he's saying? Sin is not just a little bitty mistake that you did. No! It's iniquity. It's a lawlessness. It's that which is reject of God. It's that which He'll say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. And he says, he that commits sin is lawless. He's not talking about the law of Moses here. For sin is transgression. And that same phrase is iniquity, lawlessness. Next verse. And you know what? That He was manifest to take away our sin. See, I come to here to tell you what John is saying. We see Him as He is. You know, I can tell people till I'm blue in the face that there's not a verse of Scripture in the Bible that says Jesus, the blood of Jesus, covers anything. Not one single verse. And some people say, don't matter, it's so. Doesn't matter, it's so. Okay. You can believe that, but you're not seeing the blood of Jesus as it is. You're seeing something that's been made up about it. I can spend the rest of the service, if you'd like me to, well, I'd finish this message and I'd preach longer, telling you what the Scripture does say about the blood. Cleanses, purges, washes, sanctifies. But not a single verse of Scripture. And that people say, but I believe it. And it's in a conversation and a song. I'm just going to believe it. That's the veil. And you can't see the blood of Jesus as it is. That's why it can't do anything for you. You say, well, that preacher got off course because I heard that all my life. I've got 15 more minutes. Will you open your eyes to what the Word of God says? People says, well, I'm just going to believe He took my penalty. Well, you can believe that, but you're not seeing Him as He is. Some people think I'm a preacher. I sit home during the week. On Tuesdays, I get my manicure. Huh? Usually about every other week, I go to my tailor, make sure my suits are tailored just right. Huh? I go to my stylist. On Fridays, and I play golf. On Mondays. Someone said, and some people do that, that preacher, I know how preachers are. Well, I tell you this is not a boast or brag. You're not seeing me as I am. Wrong on all counts. You know, it doesn't matter in eternal scheme of things if you don't see me as I am. Because there's many of you that I probably don't see as you are. You know, we look at this person, well, this person's like this, and this is their where they go. This and people don't believe me. I'll say this. I was always terribly shy. Still am. But in school, I was terribly shy. I mean, if I got to know someone very well, and many of you like this, you could talk and converse. But if you didn't know one, unless they said a word, you couldn't speak to them. Anyone ever been like that? If you didn't know them, I was just terribly shy. I had two or three people tell me, you were so stuck up. They weren't seeing it as it was. That's okay when you don't see people as they are. I mean, open your eyes. Don't think, well, I got a gut feeling and I just know. Because sometimes your gut feeling's wrong. But because it's seeing Christ as He is, that transforms the believer. It matters how you see Christ. And one of the things, it's the foundation of the gospel that John preached, he said, you know that He was manifest to take away our sins. See, that's more than just a statement. That's how we see Christ. We don't see Him as a covering. We don't see Him as taking a penalty. we see Him as taking our sin. We know that. And that's what John's saying. Says, we see Him as He is. In Him is no sin. Whosoever abides in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sins has not seen Him. You see that right there? Whosoever sins has not seen Him, neither known Him. Now, since we read it, I don't know, can you get verses 2 through 6 on the screen? Put it up there, because I want you to see I'm not taking it out of context here. In the second verse, we see Him as He is. Sixth verse, whosoever sinned has not seen Him. And I think it would be implied as He is. Not at questioning whether someone had an experience with the Lord. Not at questioning what has happened or not in times past, but because seeing as Him in, as He is, listen to me, delivers a person from their sin. Amen. Those that sin have not seen Him. Are our eyes open this morning? I'll say that as then. Because seeing Christ as He is delivers a person. It's not their willpower. It's not their effort. It's not their principle. It's not their steps. It's not their programs. It's not their all this. It's seeing Him are changed from glory to glory because seeing Him as He is delivers a person from their sin. John gives the simple conclusion that those who sin have not seen Him as He is. I want to ask Sister Hope if you would come on this morning. I am going to say this. I don't believe it's John's intent, and certainly not my intent, to question anyone in this place, do you love the Lord? Are you a man or a woman of faith? Not my intent. But to bring the gospel truth that unless you see Him as He is, unless you dare open your eyes and see Him as He is, nothing will ever change. Nothing will ever change. But if you will open your eyes, I'm going to tell you what will happen. I'm going to stand here speaking this morning as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And I can tell you what will happen. If you will open your eyes. It may not be this morning. It may not be the night. But if you will open your eyes, we can draw nigh to God and believe what His Word is saying. There will come an hour that God will visit you. And He will open your eyes. And it will be like Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4. In that hour that God opens your eyes, he said, God who commandeth light to shine out of darkness has shined into our heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And when God opens your eyes and you begin to see Christ, you become transformed. But Paul told those Jews, and Jesus spoke the same words. He said, but they closed their eyes. See, the Scripture says God's not willing that any should perish. He's not come to close your eyes. He's come to open your eyes. But you will open them first. You first will begin to say, it matters to me what the Word of God says. You will first begin to say, it matters to me that I see Him as He is. You will first begin to say, Lord, open my eyes to Jesus Christ.